Welcome back to Culture in Context.
Today we're breaking down one of the most important hip-hop albums of the 21st century, Good Kid, Mad City by Kendrick Lamar. But this isn't just an album review,
because we're taking it a step further, looking at how this album connects to something global, how its themes of identity, politics, language, and resistance don't just stay in Compton, but show up across the hip-hop scenes in African countries. Because hip-hop isn't just a genre, it's a language.
It's a tool.
And depending on whether you are in the world, it tells a different story, even when the message feels the same. When Good Kid, Mad City dropped in 2012, it changed how people approached rap albums. This wasn't just something you shuffled through. It was something you listened to front and back. Kendrick structures this album like a film. There's dialogue from his parents, voicemails, and transitions between tracks. Everything works together to build a narrative. It's a coming-of-age story, but not just a simple one. He's navigating peer pressure, violence, faith, temptation, and survival. And most importantly, consequences.
That opening already sets the tone. It pulls you into a mindset, not just a moment. What Kendrick does really well is show how influence works, how you can be one version of yourself alone and a completely different version when you're surrounded by certain people. And that idea of environment shaping identity is something we see far beyond Compton.
One of the most important things about this album is that Kendrick never presents identity as something stable. It's always shifting. The title itself, Good Kid, Mad City, is basically a contradiction. You're trying to be a good kid in a mad city. That tension shows up in almost every track. In Swimming Pools or Drink, Kendrick isn't celebrating drinking. He's exposing the pressure behind it.
That hook is catchy, but when you actually listen to the verses, it's uncomfortable. It's about control, expectation, escaping reality. And that's what makes Kendrick's storytelling so powerful. He pulls you in, then forces you to really rethink what you're hearing. Now, if we zoom out, that same kind of identity struggle exists across African hip-hop scenes, but shaped by different social and historical pressures.
When hip-hop reached African countries, it didn't stay the same. It evolved. Artists didn't just copy American rap, they reshaped it to fit their own realities. In Nigeria, Omliad blends hip-hop with Afrobeats, often rapping in Yoruba to reflect everyday street culture. In South Africa, Nasty C speaks to ambition, success, and pressure, especially for young people trying to navigate global expectations. In Ghana, Sodarki uses rap flows in Tiwi, grounding his music in local identity while still reaching international audiences. And in Senegal, Dawide Adwide represents one of the most politically engaged hip-hop traditions, using music to directly challenge authority and mobilize communities.
What connects all of them to Kendrick isn't sound, it's purpose. They're documenting their environments, they're telling stories that reflect their life. One thing that really connects Kendrick Lamar's work to hip-hop across Africa is the role of environment. You can hear where someone is from, not just in what they say, but in how they say it. In Good Kid, Mad City, the production feels like Compton. Heavy bass, sudden beat switches, tension-filled transitions, it mirrors unpredictability. Now compare that to African hip-hop scenes. In Nigeria, production often pulls from Afro beats, more rhythmic, more bounce, but still grounded in storytelling. In South Africa, there's influence from Kwaito and house, giving the music a completely different energy. So when artists are talking about struggle or identity, the soundscape changes based on environment. And that matters because hip-hop isn't just about lyrics, it's about feeling.
Another interesting difference is how storytelling shows up. Kendrick leans heavily into narrative. His album feels like one continuous story. But across African hip-hop, storytelling sometimes looks different. Some artists focus on moments instead of full narratives, cultural references instead of linear storytelling, and energy and delivery as much as context. For example, Sir Darkie might not always tell us a full story like Kendrick, but his delivery, flow, and cultural reference still communicate identity. So storytelling isn't about structure, it's about presence.
As hip-hop grows globally, yet another tension shows up, commercialization. Kendrick addresses this subtly by staying grounded in storytelling rather than chasing trends. But across countries, artists often have to balance making music for global audiences, staying true to local culture. And artists like Nasty C have spoken about navigating internal successes while also maintaining authenticity. That balance is difficult because the more global hip hop becomes, the more pressure there is to sound a certain way. So authenticity is a form of resistance.
Another connection between Kendrick's album and African hip hop is the focus on youth. Good Kid, M.A.A.D City is essentially about being young and trying to figure things out, trying to make things right, trying to make the right decisions in the wrong environment. That same theme shows up across African hip-hop. Many artists speak directly to young people navigating economic challenges, dreams of success in limited systems, and the pressure to make it. Hip-hop becomes more than music. It becomes motivation, it becomes leader and warning.
Spirituality is another layer that often gets overlooked. Kendrick weaves faith throughout the album, especially in moments of reflection and realization. You can hear it clearly towards the end of Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst.
Do you want to receive God as your personal Savior? Okay, repeat after me. Lord God, I come to you a sinner.
Lord God, I come to you a sinner.
And I humbly repent for my sin. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe you raised him from the dead. I would ask that Jesus come into my life. And be my Lord and Savior.
That moment represents a turning point, a shift from chaos to awareness, and across African hip-hop, spiritually often plays a similar role. Whether it's through reference to faith, cultural traditions, or moral reflection, artists use spirituality as a way to process these experiences. It adds depth and adds direction.
One thing Kendrick does really well is perspective. He doesn't just tell his own story, but he steps into others' voices. He tells stories from different viewpoints, which creates empathy. Across African hip-hop, perspectives also play a key role. Artists often speak for their communities, their neighborhoods, and their countries. So hip-hop becomes a collective, not just...
One of the most interesting differences between Kendrick's work and African hip-hop is language. Kendrick uses Compton slang, very specific and localized, to ground his storytelling. But across Africa, artists often move between multiple languages in a single song. In English, French, indigenous languages, and street dialects, and that's also intentional. Because language becomes a form of power. It's a form of saying that we don't have to translate our own experiences to be understood. It also makes the music more accessible to local audiences, which keeps hip-hop connected to people that it represents.
Kendrick Lamar's album is deeply political, but never stands there and tells you what to think. Instead, he shows you what life feels like under certain systems. Police encounters, violence, limited choices. You hear that intensity clearly in M.A.A.D City.
That energy feels chaotic, almost overwhelming, and that's really the point though. Now across African countries, hip-hop often takes a slight different approach. Artists can be more direct, calling out government corruption, economic inequality, and social instability. In Senegal especially, hip-hop has historically played a role in political activism and youth movements. So while Kendrick shows you the system indirectly, some African artists confront it head-on. Different styles, same goal, release theme, resistance.
Another key difference is historical context. Kendrick is navigating identity in an American system shaped heavily by race and systematic inequality. African artists, on the other hand, are often navigating post-colonial identity. That includes the impact of colonization, cultural hybridity, globalization, and that identity becomes even more layered. Artists are balancing tradition versus modernity, local culture versus Western influence, and authenticity versus global appeal. And again, that tension mirrors Kendrick's Good Kid, Mad City dynamic. It's just shaped by a slightly different history.
Gender is another layer that adds complexity. In Good Kid, Mad City, women are present, but often through Kendrick's perspective. They play roles in the story, but they're not always centered as full voices. And that reflects a broader pattern in hip-hop. But across African hip-hop scenes, there has been a noticeable shift. Artists like Show Mazzori bring a different perspective, blending language, culture, and identity in a way that challenges expectation of what hip-hop should look and sound like. So gender becomes another site of resistance, not just in lyrics, but also in presence.
What connects Kendrick Lamar and African hip-hop artists is the idea of the Black diaspora. Even across continents, there are shared experiences: marginalization, cultural resilience, identity negotiation. Hip-hop becomes the bridge, and you can really hear that emotional depth in Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst.
That kind of vulnerability, that reflection, really resonates globally. Because no matter where you are, people are asking similar questions. Who am I? Where do I belong? And how do I survive in this environment? So where does all this go next? Hip-hop is no longer centered in one place. It's not just American anymore. African artists are influencing global sound just as much as they are influenced by it. We're seeing more collaboration across continents, more blending of genres, and more emphasis on cultural identity. The future of hip-hop is global, and it's being shaped in real time.
More than 10 years later, Good Kid, Mad City still feels relevant. Not because it tried to be universal, but because it's specific. It's detailed, honest, uncomfortable at times, and that's exactly why it connects to hip-hop scenes across Africa. Because when you tell a real story, people recognize the truth in it, even if the details are different.
From Compton to Lagos to Accra to Johannesburg, Dhaka and beyond, hip hop continues to evolve, but it's the foundation that stays the same. It tells stories, it challenges systems, it reflects identity, and most importantly, it adapts to wherever it goes. Good Kid, Mad City isn't just Kendrick Lamar's story, it's part of a global conversation, one that's still being written every day.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you in the next episode. This don't kill my vibe. This don't kill my vibe. I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music, I will share it. But today, bitch, don't kill my vibe. 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 Look inside of my soul and you can find gold and maybe get rich. Look inside of your soul and you can find out it never exists. I can feel the changes. I can feel a new life. I always knew life can be dangerous. I can say that I like a challenge and you to me is painless. You don't know what pain is. How can I paint this picture when the colorblind is hanging with you? Fell on my face and I woke with a scar. Another mistake living deep in my heart. Wear it on top of my sleeve in a flick. I can admit that.